Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
So if you guys want to give a warm welcome to Isaac Rosa.
All right, Luke chapter 2, please. If you guys can start turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. They're going to be looking at verses 25 through 35. 25 through 35. As you guys see here up on the screen, we're starting a new topical series. We're going to be looking at the Jesus encounters in the gospel. And I'm going to start us off with an encounter with baby Jesus and Simeon. And so that being kind of the first actual physical encounter that is recorded, I felt like it was appropriate to start there. And so for the whole summer, we're going to be in this series, and so it's going to be I'm excited for what the Lord, how many of you guys enjoyed Joshua? Yeah, Joshua was awesome, really timely for us, and I really wanted to encourage you guys that this summer is going to be very, very gospel saturated. Not that any other sermon or any other sermon series isn't evangelistic, but just a couple of weeks ago, the pastors and I went up to the mountains and really seeking direction on where the Lord is leading us as a church. And this summer, we just want to be very, very about seeking those whom would be saved. And a very easy way to do that, so I want to invite them to Sunday night, because there's going to be an evangelistic emphasis on Sunday nights for the summer. So we're definitely going to be getting fed, definitely going to be learning and growing, hopefully, but that just every the Bill always asks me to kind of make that known to us, because that's what we're planning on doing and seeing what the Lord will do. So, are you guys there? Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. As a matter of fact, we haven't done this in a while. Would you guys mind standing while we read God's Word? I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version, and the title of this message is called Simeon's Encounter with Baby Jesus. Real original, right? Yeah. So, Luke 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. This is God's word. You guys can go ahead and take a seat. Let's go ahead and ask for help together for the Lord to meet us here tonight. So why don't you guys join me in praying for the study. Father, how comforting it is that in our waiting, in our hard seasons, in the valleys and in the mountaintops, in every season of life, Lord, you are ever ready, ever present to be our ultimate comfort. Lord, I know just because of the way that you've impressed the heart of this text into my life and heart, I know that there, I have family out here tonight that need to hear from you. So I can't do that without you. Holy Spirit, I would ask that you'd anoint my lips to be clear, Lord, and I ask that you help me preach and teach in such a way that is faithful to the Bible and faithful to who you are. Lord, the end result here tonight is to really leave here more in love with Jesus, because that's where true life transformation happens. And that does not happen apart from your Spirit. So we need you, Lord, for any of this to be profitable, for any of this to make sense. We need you. I need you. So Lord, we ask this humbly and expectantly in the beautiful and powerful name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. Amen. So, do you ever feel stuck in life? Do you ever feel like what you're doing is not working, that you're just maybe in a stagnant season of life? Maybe you were just so close to step into a new and exciting season, and because of circumstances and because of people, that just didn't happen. What if, and because of those failures and because of certain seasons of your life, you've been tempted to be without hope, tempted to be in despair, tempted to not know what to do next? I'd like to point your attention to the screen real quick.
Nobly will inbound to Duncan. He gets doubled. Shaq all over him. He gets away, a fadeaway. He makes it with 4 tenths left.
Pause it there. Who here knows this? Oh my goodness. It's because the Lakers been sucking lately, huh? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is when the Lakers were really good. And I don't know if you guys noticed there, but Shaq was all over Tim Duncan on that. And so when Tim landed that shot, it was like the dagger in the heart. There was no hope. I mean, you guys see how many seconds are up there? 0.4 seconds. 0.4 seconds, but then something crazy happens.
Unbelievable! Unbelievable! 4 tenths remaining in the fifth game. Here they go. They get it to Fisher. He scores! Derek Fisher scores at the buzzer!
We got to take a look at it, but I got to tell you live, it looked good.
You know, at the risk of being a shill, now I know why they say, we love this game.
We love this game.
What a, it's just unbelievable.
Crazy, right? It was insane because where I lived at the moment in LA, and I wasn't even close to my neighbors, but I just remember everyone in our apartment building like ran out. We were all in the middle, like in the cul-de-sac. We all ran out in the street. We're hugging, dancing. I mean, this thing lasted maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And it was crazy to think that in 0.4 seconds, Derek Fisher would get that shot off and to help the Lakers win the championship that season. Now, why in the heck am I bringing this up? Some of you guys feel like there is 0.4 seconds left in your tank of energy. Some of you think that there is 0.4 seconds left in your strength to continue, and your strength to persevere, and the strength to just remain obedient, rather than succumbing to just giving up, whether that be from suicide to being okay with living a mediocre life. You are 0.4 seconds away from giving up. And what I believe the Spirit of God is telling us through Luke chapter 2 is to remind you and me to not give up. It's for me and you to not give up, because the game isn't over. If you've got a beating heart here tonight, the game is not over. Now, when I think of that, when I think of kind of the strength to persevere, when I think of of when things are not working out the way that you expected them to do to be, and the temptation to give up. I think of Simeon. And the reason why, well, actually, before I get into unpacking Simeon, let me set the stage for us here in Luke chapter 2, since we're just plopping down the middle of a chapter. And so, obviously, Simeon's going to play a pretty big role in our story here tonight. And the scene is the court of women in the temple area, and that's going to explain itself as the text goes on. The year is either 6 or 5 BC, and the time is 41 days after the birth of Jesus, and the occasion is Joseph and Mary coming to offer a burnt and sin offering at the temple because of her ceremonial uncleanness after delivering her firstborn son. And the focus in this text is what God reveals to Simeon and what Simeon then reveals to Joseph and Mary and to us. And the substance, guys, of this text is the gospel, the good news of salvation that is only found in Jesus Christ. My goal and hope by the end of tonight here is that our confidence be in the God that we say that we worship. Confidence in the gospel, confident in who Jesus is and who he said that he is. My goal and heart, my goal for us here tonight is to leave more confident in that. Now, why couldn't I help but think of Simeon in relating, in relation to giving up? Well, the surrounding verses around Luke 2, verse 25 and 35 kind of show us a little bit of insight into that. And so if you guys don't mind going up to verse 22 and read with me, where it says, "Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord," right? So we talked about the purification, a very Jewish ritual tradition that needed to take place. Skip down to verse 24 as well, "and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord." So here, Luke is obviously trying to get our attention. He's highlighting the old system under the law. And the reason why he's doing that is because he wants to show us what an outstanding Jewish citizen looked like and what they did. And what they did and how they lived. Now, it's interesting because Joseph and Mary, now them being newly married, having just had their first son, that opens up a whole nother set of rituals, of ceremonies that they need to accomplish. And then they come to contact into an older guy. We don't know specifically what age, but an older guy by the name of Simeon. Because of where Simeon is in the temple, it is said, many commentators say that Simeon was a guy of old age, and that where it begins, that where it says in verse 25 that he was a man that was just and devout, Luke highlights those things to say that Simeon was a devout and pious guy. Was a just guy, a guy that was really concerned about the temple specifics. It's not said whether or not he was a priest or a temple assistant, but he, because of the promise that he had been given by God that he will not die until he saw the Messiah, that he would be involved in temple worship, waiting to see the promised king and the promised Messiah. Now, and as I see that, right, Joseph and Mary are walking into this. Simeon's kind of a veteran here in temple life. I can kind of safely assume that Simeon, I mean, the day-to-day grind in temple worship was pretty exhaustive and extensive. Pretty exhaustive and intensive. And so that's why Luke is highlighting the fact that all this stuff is going on. And so Simeon, having been there for years, we can safely assume that he could have been tempted in believing that God wasn't going to come through his word. It's safe to assume that after year 5, after year 10, year 15, year 20, Simeon can kind of begin to doubt. Begin to ask himself, okay, was that really from the Lord or was it me? Why is this taking so long? Have you guys ever felt stuck? Stagnant in your walk of life? stagnant just in where you're at today, or maybe this whole Jesus thing for you isn't working out. Now, before you would make such a claim, I would encourage us to look and pay attention to Simeon, because at a certain point of his waiting, he gets a word from God. He gets a revelation that we see here in verse 25 through 26. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Pause right there. All that phrase is pointing to is a prophecy in Isaiah 40, where God, through the prophet Isaiah, is painting a picture of God being the ultimate consolation, the ultimate comforter to his people, right? Pointing to a future Messiah. And so Luke, being the very learned Jewish doctor that he is, he points this out, saying that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And as the text continues, and the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, right? So we're getting close to Simeon actually coming in contact with baby Jesus. So here, Simeon, having in mind the long-awaited promise, about to encounter the anointed Messiah that was going to save his people. Do you guys think that the day-to-day grind of temple worship kind of came into his mind when he was about to meet Jesus? The day-to-day sacrifices that needed to take place? Kind of the daily grind of working around in the temple. Do you think those things came to his mind right as he's about to meet Jesus? You guys think that came to mind? No, not at all. Imagine if Simeon had given up, let's just say at age 35, 47, 52, 82. We don't know his specific age, but what we do know and what we can safely assume is that Simeon was a guy that had been there for a very, very long time. And so the temptation might be to think, okay, what the heck is going on, Lord? You're not fulfilling on your purposes. And for us here tonight, you may say, here, Isaac, I'm stuck and I just need to get unstuck. I'm in a terrible season of life and I'm just praying, I'm seeking, I just want to get out of this season of life. This trial is terrible, and I just want to get out of this trial. When maybe God has you stuck, he maybe has you in the season, maybe he has you waiting, growing older, because he might want to reveal something to us. He might want to say something to you. Maybe he wants to show himself to you in a way you would have never have noticed had you given up in the beginning. Or maybe God has you in the situation that you're in right now because there is stuff he wants to reveal in your life that you would have never been receptive to had you been driven by your own self-sufficiency and self-confidence. So the significance of this revelation is simple but massively important. The significance of this revelation to Simeon is because Simeon realized that God is at work, that God is working. Despite the waiting, despite the hard season, despite any circumstance you and I might find ourselves in, the truth is that God is working. And one of my many concerns with this generation of Christians is the lack of belief in that. The lack of belief in that. And just speaking as a person from my generation and even younger people, I've seen the incessant desire to seek after supernatural experiences rather than radically ordinary obedience. Or we seek supernatural experiences. Oh, you know, I heard from God. I got a revelation from God. The music's great. The people are awesome. But how I know that we have a hard time truly believing that God is at work is because we're so quick to pray to get out of that season. so quick to bounce. And it's so sad that our generation is known for, and I'm preaching to the choir here, is that we're known for just being a faithless generation, really a faithless people, because there's nothing new about millennials about that. That's been the story of humankind since the beginning. But I feel like it's more emphasized in our generation and in our culture today. Right? Truly, if we believe that God was at work in whatever situation you're in, rather than praying to get out of that situation, you'd be praying more along the lines of, Lord, help me see what lessons you want to show me in this moment. Lord, show me where I need to grow up in this. Show me, Lord, where my idols are. Because number one, God is sovereign. Your will not thwart God's plans in your life. That's just not going to happen. And so the fact that you are in the valley, the fact that you are at the mountaintop, is because God had led you there. And the reason why he has you in the valley, the reason why he has you in the season, the reason that he has you waiting, because he wants to remind you that he's working. Like Simeon, even while Simeon did his thing, Jesus was coming to town, right? It didn't matter what Simeon was going to do. Jesus was at work. Jesus was getting closer and closer to the temple. The takeaway for us, guys, is to remind ourselves that God is at work. That God is at work. There is something so beautiful, and I think that's why, as a younger person that seeks out after much more wiser, mature people in my life, is because faithfulness and obedience and consistency is something that marks previous generations, not mine. And something that my heart, at least in our sphere of influence and in the people that gather here regularly, that we be known for our theological understanding that regardless of what situation or what circumstance or what person enters our life, we can rest in the fact that God is at work. Does that truth bring you comfort, Christian? Does that truth ease your anxiety, Christian? Does that truth inform your depression? And the story gets even better in verse 27, where it says, "So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law," right? They're going to circumcise him, or they have circumcised him already. "He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, us, and the glory of your people, Israel.'" Here, Simeon breaks out so overcome, so overwhelmed by excitement that he is meeting the Savior of the world, the promised Messiah. He breaks out into song. Essentially, Simeon here says, the Savior is real, his promises are true, I can die now. I can die now. And Simeon saw 8-day-old baby Jesus and believed God no matter how hard and impossible it seemed at the time, that he knew that God was at work. Simeon was able to go to bed that night with confidence. Christian, hopefully soon to be Christian, I would encourage you to, again, not be so caught up like me, I mean, filled with right knowledge of God, but a way that I know that right knowledge is making its way into my life is that it informs my heart, it shapes my heart, and it changes the way that I see and interact with the world. And so since I hope we've established and I hope it's been encouraging to us of the fact that God is always at work, we still have a problem, and this problem usually has to do with us, not so much God, but usually when God works it out in our lives, it usually doesn't look like how we expect, right? Read with me verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against." Yes, and so here Simeon looks at Mary and he says this, "Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Okay, this is a pretty heavy moment, right? Those of us that are on the other side of the covenant, those of us that are on the other side of the cross, we know that it is alluding to the cross. It's alluding to Jesus' perfect sacrifice for us, atoning for his perfect and atoning work on the cross for us in our place. So we know that that's what it's referring to, but however this is received, and we can't really know, and actually it's not explicit in the text whether or not Simeon knew what he was saying, or Mary understood Simeon's prophecy here. But what's pretty clear here is that this is news that no mama is expecting, no newly mom. Right? This new mom wasn't expecting to hear that her baby son was going to be the cause for many to fall and arise, that there will be a sword, that something's going to happen, that there's going to be a sword that pierces through the hearts, to her heart, and it's going to expose many hearts. It's very clear that that's obviously something that Mary was not expecting, just like the nation of Israel. As a matter of fact, Israel knew that they were eventually going to be on top, right? Because the Old Testament is filled with messianic prophecies, meaning that they knew that regardless of where they found themselves in the Old Testament, whether it be in slavery, whether it be in the Promised Land, whether it be in Egypt, God was eventually going to send a Savior to save his people. And so they just weren't expecting it to come in the form of a humble servant. A lowly, meek, humble servant that will one day come and not only die, but be crucified on the cross. Like Israel, they were not expecting kind of this message. And so this points to the reality that this Messiah was not going to bring on a revolution with armies or weapons or arguments, but instead that he was going to start by freeing. He was going to overrule. He was going to take over by freeing the human heart from its misery, freeing the human heart from sin and the power of sin. God is always at work, guys. It just doesn't always look the way we expect it. Just how Mary wouldn't expect that truth, and I'll unpack necessarily what that means here in a little bit. But just like the people of Israel, in the context of where we find ourselves in this book, and the people where they're at during this time, is that they were thinking that the Messiah, the Savior, is going to come and to overrule and to overtake the oppressing government that was upon them at this moment. Instead, it came by a form of a humble, lowly servant. Like Simeon, like Mary, and the Lakers, guys, we need to hear and believe this truth here tonight. The game isn't over. The game isn't over. Don't give up because God is at work. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is at work and where you're at here tonight? Now read with me verse 34 and 35. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child," talking about baby Jesus, "is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will not be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." What Simeon here is saying is that the Messiah coming will be good news to some people and it will be bad news for some. that there was going to be no room for a middle ground. It was going to be you receiving the anointed Messiah as the Lord and Savior of your life, or he was going to be responsible, or he was going to be responsible for the fall of those people. A commentator put it beautifully like this: This gospel, which corporately unites all people together, also divides all people at the level of the heart. Because Jesus is God himself in the flesh, to face the gospel of Jesus is to face God. And to face God is to have our thoughts and our hearts opened and revealed. This will result in a fall for any who are proud or opposed and reject Jesus. But for those like Simeon who see Jesus and respond to him with hope, this is going to be great news for them. This story invites us to see Jesus rightly and receive him at the level of the heart as Savior and Lord, holding back nothing because God sees and knows all things, even what is in our hearts. Do you guys see that? Right there, and kind of the modern application for us here tonight is that there is no middle ground in Christianity. He is truly Lord over your life. And when I say Lord over your life, I like to picture it this way. It's not that Jesus is an addition to your life, and so you fit him into your schedule, but rather Jesus is at the center of your schedule, and you revolve your world and life around who he is and what he's called you to do. That distinguishes what's true about you following Jesus or not. And here, and so the invitation here is, if you're by rejecting Jesus, by saying no to Jesus, saying, you know what, I got it, that points to the fact that you're proud. It points to the fact that you are still in your sins. But the invitation, I believe, here that Jesus would like for us to hear tonight is to humble yourself, to realize that you and I need a Savior. And for the Christian in here, you should not be tuning me out, because you need to remember this. We need to remember this, that we are a group of people. We should be a group of people known for our neediness, not for our pride. Should be known for how utterly and completely dependent we are on the person and work of Jesus. Does that mark your life, Christian? Does that mark your life? And so again, if you're in here and you haven't yet done that, you haven't yet responded to God in faith for who he is, I would invite you to consider. I'd invite you to consider the claim. Now, the title of this series is called Never the Same, right? Never the Same. The reason why Simeon here was changed, why he was never the same, is because Simeon banked on God's promises completely. Simeon was never the same because he banked on God's promises completely, realizing that he's on solid ground. That he realizes that, or Simeon, and I would hope that some of us in here tonight would come to realize that when we say that we believe in God, when we say that we are taking God at his word, when we say these things, it isn't based upon circumstance or people. And I know I've been hammering that home here tonight, but the true mark of maturity, and this is, again, this is so the season I'm in right now, so maybe that's why you guys are hearing it a lot, is because a sign of true maturity isn't necessarily finding joy and contentment in your circumstance, but apart from your circumstance, apart from whatever this world were to offer, there is a joy and a contentment and an understanding that apart from all those things, nothing will ever touch our faith. And that's hard to hear. That was hard to realize for me, because I was a very emotionally driven Christian, right? My spiritual vitality was measured upon what spiritual experience I had encountered that week or that day. But by God's grace and by reading the Bible and understanding that Jesus himself had a very hard life. And he calls his disciples and his followers to that life as well, knowing that apart from persecution, apart from circumstances, that it will never, ever touch at the core of who we are. That's why Paul says crazy things like, you can kill me. But that's out of actually a greater gain rather than a loss. I see that as a blessing rather than a bummer. So ultimately, how I want to end us here tonight is leave you with the words of Jesus and another passage by Paul, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here. But I'm going to ask you guys to close your eyes. To close your eyes, and we're just going to spend some time in responding, but I'm just going to let these truths speak for themselves and pray and hope that as the Lord is searching your heart, as the Lord is revealing certain things to you, as you're being tempted to give up, as you're being tempted to want to succumb to the temptations of this world, of your flesh and the enemy, as you're being tempted to just being okay with living a mediocre Christian life, as you're being tempted to fall into that, I'm going to just trust that the Word of God will have that effect on you. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 to 58 says this, "But thanks be to God that he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain." Because you know that your labor is not in vain. And Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 29, says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And Father, I pray that that be a reality for us here tonight. Rest, contentment, trusting that you are at work, Lord, and ultimately knowing that your promises are true and that your promises will come to fruition because of who you are. Lord, help us to be a people that are like that, a people that truly take you at your word, knowing, Lord, that our work is not in vain. Search us now, Lord, we ask. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day.